Episode 4, The Ottomans in the 19th Century, Shaping Jordan's Modern Administrative Boundaries. This period began during the 19th century and ended in 1918. During this episode, I will be mentioning a lot of names and dates, and during some moments, it may feel like a convoluted list. But the point that I'm trying to emphasize is that the detail and framework that was representing Jordan shifts over the 19th century according to different world historical realities. It concerns military powers in Europe, Christian authors, and representing the so-called Holy Land to a European audience are some of the main motivating powers during this frenzy of representation. The years 1300 and 1402 were important years for the Ottoman Empire. The empire began with the Turks and Anatolia and lasted for over 600 years. By 1402, the Ottomans controlled most of the southeastern European, western Asia, and northern Africa regions. This expansion occurred after conquering the Byzantine Empire, which controlled most of the land surrounding the Mediterranean Sea, in addition to some of the Middle East and North Africa. By 1516, Bilad-is-Sham was occupied by the Ottomans. As with the earlier Islamic period, administrative divisions were used in pretty much the same pattern. The area came under Ottoman rule for 4 centuries until 1918. Nîabet el-Karak was now known as Liwajlûn, basically covering the same land as modern-day Jordan. The kingdom was divided into several Nawahi, Al-Salt, Al-Ghur, Ajlûn, Al-Karak, Bani Alwan, and Al-Qura, amongst others. The Jordan River, with the exception of the north, formed valley which was lined with continuous villages. Only in the south were there any isolated ones. Each of the Nawahi was composed of various settlements and villages, which included population groups of Christians, Muslims, and even sporadic Jews. The whole area was under the auspices of the province of Damascus. The pilgrimage route caravans to Mecca brought the region much stability. Transjordan was a province of minor importance to the Ottoman Empire between the 16th and 19th centuries. The area was governed locally, with the safety of the Hajj pilgrimage route being of paramount importance. Starting in 1866, the Damascus province governor, Rashid Pasha, created new administrative boundaries in Transjordan. The Qada of Ajlûn was created, as was Al-Salt. New districts were again created in 1872 with Man as the capital and updated in 1895 when Al-Karak replaced Man as the region's capital. The first Ottoman atlas was printed in 1732 and included a copy of Katip Celebi's map, who was a geographer at the time. The map is the first detailed effort at drafting the empire's Asian provinces. The phrase Land of Palestine is written in Arabic down the River Jordan. The first printed atlas of the Ottoman Empire was the Sedid Atlas by Mudaris Abdurrahman Efendi and shows Ottoman Syria in 1803. This map is thought to be inspired by the 1794 Danville map, which was included in the General Atlas of William Faden. However, this version included additional details reflecting the Ottoman provinces. Likewise, it reads Land of Palestine in Arabic on it. But by the end of that century, conceptions had shifted, especially under the Napoleonic invasion of North Africa. The Carte de l'Egypte from 1799 was drafted by Pierre Jacotin under Napoleon, who originally worked on the surveying during Napoleon's movements in Egypt and Syria. He produced the first map of Palestine, which was based on triangulation and which formed the starting point for many of the subsequent maps until that of the Palestine Exploration Fund, PEF, in 1873, which I will speak about below. The map is considered highly flawed, though it is a major shift from the political and biblical maps produced earlier. The boundaries shown are only physical. However, where the French were unable to survey, made-up details were added to the map ad libitum. This is especially clear with the natural landscape and mountain ranges drawn. However, not all European maps during this period were directly suited for the military domination of the region, as shown by the next map, which speaks towards the enduring religious historical interest of Christian cartographers. By 1815, Aaron Arrowsmith, who was an English cartographer, engraver, and publisher, based on Henry Mondrell's work from 1703, journeyed from Aleppo to Jerusalem, produced a sketch of the countries between Jerusalem and Aleppo. Mondrell was an Oxford academic who had undertaken an Eastern pilgrimage to Jerusalem in 1697. On the map, the description of Jacob's Well on the outskirts of Nablus is a direct quotation from Mondrell, a line from the German explorer Ulrich Jasper Seidzin from a brief account of the countries adjoining the Lake of Tiberias, the Jordan, and the Dead Sea, published in 1809, is also included. The map is a combination of a modern map and a biblical map, which also shows the 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Jacob, from Rachel and Leah. One of the earliest maps showing the Ottoman divisions was that of Sidney Hall in 1830. Hall was a British engraver and cartographer who reproduced atlases with maps of the United Kingdom and the ancient world from his engravings. William Hughes was an English geographer, cartographer, author, and academic who had made a career of producing maps of Palestine. In 1840, he published the Illuminated Atlas of Scripture Geography, produced for the Society of the Diffusion of Useful Knowledge, an organization which prided itself on publishing information to support those who could not access formal education. The map below is almost entirely political, showing detailed illustrations of the Ottoman administrative districts. In 1840, Charles Rochford Scott, an army officer, developed the Royal Engineers map, which was carried out during the Oriental Crisis, during the Egyptian-Ottoman War. This was the second time that a triangulation-based attempt was made to map Jordan and Palestine. A version was prepared in 1846 for the British Foreign Office. The map was also the base for the drafting of Van der Velde's map, which we will discuss later. In 1841, Hendrik Kuypert, a German geographer, produced a map to be included with the first edition of Biblical Researches in Palestine by Father of Biblical Geography, Edward Robinson. The 1849 map from William Lynch, a naval officer, was prepared for the United States Hydrographic Office as commissioned, and was published in Narrative of the United States Expedition to the River Jordan and the Dead Sea. Lynch was the first cartographer to determine that the Dead Sea was below sea level, though using the method of triangulation, which the scientific community had previously suspected but had not been able to conclusively prove. The mission was equally cultural and promotional as it was scientific, as he was tasked with understanding its surroundings more and mapping a potential route from the Mediterranean to the Dead Sea. The 1850 Carl Zimmermann map, a German painter, in the Atlas of Palestine and the Sinai Peninsula, was spread over 11 lithographic maps and 2 geologic profiles. This continued this much more scientific trend. Charles van der Velde in 1858 produced what will become known as one of the most precise maps, preceding the PAF survey, which we will discuss later. In 1870, the French sent an expedition to map the Levant as a follow-up attempt to expand the map of Lebanon to include full coverage of Jordan and Palestine. The Franco-Prussian War outbreak saw the two cartographers Galilée Jean-Joseph Mieleu and Isidore de Rayen recalled. The map was published in 1873. This map, however, did not have a legend as it was considered inferior to the PEF. By the end of the Ottoman Empire, the administration had taken as many steps as possible to divide up the region with the Jordan River as the major boundary, as the Ottomans continued with their districting. During 1873, the Palestine Exploration Fund was made to help excavate and map Palestine. With Queen Victoria as the royal patron, the PEF was made to elevate the fields of history and archaeology with research, and glean a better understanding of the geology, topography, customs, and culture of biblical Palestine. The cartography initiative was funded by the British War Office and operated by members of the Royal Engineers, and was one focused on the production of a scientific map that had little to do with the major archaeological efforts that the PEF had undertaken in the past. The fact that the PEF produced a map used by British General Edmund Allenby in driving the Ottomans out of Palestine with some modifications was to define the initial colonial claims to Palestine. This shows how the measurement and representation involved in cartography can also be used to control and define regions, and many identified this map as the first which made colonial claims to Palestine. The PEF considered themselves geographers and were mostly unaware of how their efforts were leveraged by the War Office. The PEF were the peak of cartographic work in Palestine, as the first fully scientific map. While the map is just said to be scientifically and historically accurate, the divisive lines drawn show just how much maps are methods of exerting power and control politically. Listen to Dr. Ababsi talk about the uses of maps historically, including the Ottoman Empire.
The Greeks used map as a scientific way to really, you know, the Ptolemaic maps, to really calculate, coordinate distances. It was wonderful. Then we forgot that until El-Idrisi, 1154, map, okay? Planisphere of the world, okay? But between all this period, you had the Roman map. The Roman used to have, you know, the Petangere map that used to calculate distances just to conquest, okay? And then you had for 1,000 years map Terrarum Orbis, the medieval map, only to pray. To pray because the center of the map was Jerusalem. So you will and the holy sepulchre and the grave of Jesus. So you had to pray. And then starting from the 18th century, map were done to conquest again. Military to direct the cannons. You know, and you need to have elevation. And so maps serve the militaries to control and conquest.
Circling back, it was clear early on to the PS surveyors that the Jordan River was a dividing line along which urban density varied, and east of the Jordan was much sparse and less densely populated. There was a sense of competition between the British and French explorers within the Holy Land, and with limited resources and funding, the PEF heavily invested in mapping the region to the west of the Jordan as it developed. With the American Palestinian Exploration Society, APES, offering assistance, the PEF internally expected them to fall short, assigned them the task they expected was of less significance from a military and biblical perspective. This was the Eastern Survey. The PEF promptly disregarded these efforts, which made Palestinian terrain exclusively western. Thus, the boundary of the Jordan River was cemented as a lasting and permanent border, for the first time in this matter, and this led to Palestine only west of the Jordan River. The War Office published its maps in 1879, and the PEF a year later. The maps that the PEF published were indeed biblical in the north, south, and east-west axes, or from Dan to Beersheba, and from the Jordan to the sea. The area was divided with the idea of it to be ruled as a colony and Protestant homeland. A map of the east of the Jordan was also needed in the fight against the Ottomans, and with the Germans building a railway from Damascus to Haifa. In 1884, the PEF published the eastern map of the Jordan, which was 500 square miles, gaining knowledge from Gottlieb Schumacher, who was a German railway engineer, and had surveyed the area by the Yarmouk River. The detail was lacking, and as it compared to the map of Western Palestine, the area was thus named Eastern Palestine. In 1882, the Hauran Special Committee for Land under the Damascus Province drew up the district of Ajloun Land Cadastre. The new cadastre led to agricultural villages emerging. In 1882, Johann Ludwig Burckhardt, a Swiss traveler who claimed to have been the first modern European to have laid eyes on Petra, produced a map of Syria, Jordan and the Holy Land, including Egypt, published in his Travels in Syria and the Holy Land. In 1906, for the southern districts, the land register was launched covering Al-Karak, Asalt, Al-Tafil and Man. The Ottomans had very little byway of road infrastructure. The King's Highway and the Hajj Road were two main north-south roads across Transjordan, and settlements developed along these routes. In 1900, construction began for the Hejaz Railway, and in 1908, Medina was reached. The Sultan of the Ottoman Empire, Sultan Abdul Hamid II, from 1876 to 1909, and the last Sultan to effectively control the fragile and failing state, celebrated the religious aspects the railway would facilitate. The railway encouraged the emergence of new settlements, helping shape the borders of new administrative districts in modern Jordan, Extended communication lines with Palestine meant the exposure of the Jordanian market regionally and two roads linked to Jerusalem and with Salt, with a bridge connecting the two banks of the Jordan River. The Ottoman Empire remained in control until 1918 in the Arab regions and were the first to consider the Jordan River a divide between liwas. For Jordan, the Ottoman reign meant utilizing the Jordan River as a border between liwas, while utilizing it for trade and migration, which defined this period. Most liwas had the Jordan River as its border, but the only exception is the liwa of Ajloun. By the end of the Ottoman era, especially with the production of the PEF map, the triangulation of the maps was much better structured, and the maps were more accurate. The boundary of the Jordan River as a dividing force for administrative and political control was well established and would become the foundation for modern Jordan moving forward. Thank you so much for listening to this episode.